to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's amazing to see you guys here with the end of the year almost, middle of November. It's amazing how the year just sped by, isn't it? Just been incredible. Feels like yesterday we were thinking about 2015 and what lies ahead, and here we are on the crest of another year. It's amazing to be able to just worship the Lord with you. I must admit, moments like that are so precious. It's probably the highlight of my weekend, just worshiping the Lord with you guys. So thank you for opening up your hearts to the Lord's Spirit, and for allowing him to take us where he's wanting to take us. A good morning to our parents in the parents' room as well. You're not forgotten. And to those in the foyer, we love you. We appreciate you coming. It's sometimes a bit of a challenge as a parent with little kids coming to church, and we appreciate you guys being with us. I know many of you are going away on holiday. How many of you are going towards the end of the year? Quite a few. Okay. If you do travel, we just want to draw your attention to where we have our Shofar congregations. Okay, we've got Shofar churches all over the place, all right? And if there isn't one where you're going on holiday, there's one coming soon, all right? So I just want to put the list of churches up there for you. If for some other reason you were to go to the Eastern Cape like we will be doing for a few weeks, then the Shofar East London, the Shofar Graafrenet. No, that's too fast. Can you just... Graafrenet and Port Elizabeth, and then the Free State, of course, if you were to be driving up to the Kruger National Park, maybe stop over in Bloem. Amazing church there, Pastor Alistair and his wife Esther, they're doing an amazing job. And then Gauteng, Joburg in Pretoria, awesome place, beautiful churches there as well. Pop in there. Is there anybody going to Gauteng? Normally it works this way around. Hey, wonderful. Hey, you're going to take lots of blessings there and be blessed as well, Andrea. KwaZulu-Natal, there's Durban, and then Maritzburg as well. Beautiful stuff happening there. Polokwane and Chanin, there's some new church plants just getting off the ground there. The guys are excited. Mpumalanga, place of the rising sun. Secunda, also known as Mordor. But the Lord is doing an incredible thing there. There's amazing stuff happening in Secunda. Rugby players, miners, they're getting saved. We just had a kung fu fighter getting saved there as well. What do you call these cage fighting guys? What do you call them? E-something? EFC fighters. An amazing guy that got saved there a while ago. Pastor Vandenhoek bears an incredible job there. Stanerton. There's also amazing stuff happening there amongst the youth and people. Then Northern Cape Springbok. Then in Namaqualand in Northwest Province. In Porch, Gili is there just causing a storm there amongst the students. They've grown in a short space of time to over 100 students in a few months. It's amazing. Then obviously in the Western Cape, Cape Town, Century City, Ceres, all the seas, eh? Cape Town, Century City, Ceres, Clutersville, the Tiger, Delft, Durbanville, Franschhoek, George, Hermanus, Hopefield, Malmesbury, Nomzamo, Paarl, Prince Albert, Rondebosch, Somerset West, of course, over here. And so the list goes on down there to Urban Church, Wellington, Worcester, Pickettburg. And then in Nam, we were in Nam last week. It's amazing to see what the Lord is doing there in Windhoek and in Swakop. Then Utrecht is going from strength to strength there with Jan and Renee. And then in the UK, London and Weybridge, and obviously lots of churches in Malawi as well. So you really don't have any excuse not to go to church over the holiday. Okay? if there isn't one where you're going, maybe just start one, plant one, let us know you want to plant a church there. And we'll come alongside you and see how we can do that. But it is really amazing to see what the Lord is doing, just his faithfulness over the years and how he has grown us. And we literally struggle to keep up, send enough pastors to places all over the country. There are people saying, look, we want to plant a Shofar church, please, can you help us? So some of you oaks need to start thinking differently about your life, okay? The Lord has called all of us to be part of what he's doing in different ways. Not all are called to be church planters full-time, but some of you definitely are, all right? So pray about it, think about it, what the Lord is wanting to do. This morning, I want to chat to you about just something we stood still with yesterday. We had a leadership camp, leadership weekend, a whole bunch of leaders from different parts of the Winelands congregations, we came together and we spoke a little bit about leadership and leadership development. And as you know by now, part of our core values and what we believe the Lord has called us to do is to make disciples and to raise up leaders and to plant churches. And so we spoke a lot about the skills needed for leadership. You know, as that verse there at the back says, Matthew 5, 14 and 16, and the Lord has called us to be salt and to be light. Okay? And by the way, isn't that amazing? Sonia and Alicia and them have done an incredible job. I think we can give them a hand. Just incredible to have just so many creative people. I mean, we didn't even ask for this. I rock up here and here it is. It's like, they make my job so easy. Being surrounded by so many incredible people. But the Lord has called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. He's called us to infiltrate. He's called us to lead. Okay, if you're a believer, you are a leader because you have the God of all creation living inside of you. Okay, and so we spoke a little bit about God's calling upon our lives to lead and to not just to wait for things to happen to us, but to take the initiative, whether it's initiative in prayer, initiative in giving, initiative in loving, initiative in reaching out. God has called us to be proactive, not just to be victims, not just to be victims of our circumstances, or of our backgrounds, or of our budgets, or of our weaknesses, but He has called us to be overcomers. And so we spoke about that quite a bit. And then yesterday, the Lord sort of pushed the pause button, and he caused us to stand still around those skills or those things that we can ignore very easily, the stuffy on the inside. It's sometimes very easy to develop all the stuff on the outside, to develop your speaking skills and to develop your budgeting skills and your time management skills and your multitasking skills and all of those things. It's sometimes easy to do that, but the things that are really challenging are the things that happen on the inside, that which nobody else sees. And if you were to strip everything down about what Christianity is not about fixing the outside, right? It's not about just pulling yourself up by your bootlaces and trying to be a better person. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about the transformation, about what happens on the inside, about what happens when you're in the presence of God and He comes and He changes you in a way nobody else can. And so what I just felt in my heart to do this morning is to share some of the good stuff the Lord shared with us over the weekend and to just share that with you a little bit and to trust the Lord that He would come and do something in our hearts. So if you can just show that first slide for me. We were talking about the fact that, you know, with so many planes falling recently all over the world and people being stung by bees and crocodiles eating people and hippos eating people and sharks eating people and motor car accidents and so many other diseases, the number one cause of death in the world is still heart disease. Many more people die of heart disease than any other disease. Okay? And what we spoke to one another about is that when we look at what Christianity is all about, what it is that God has called us to do, and what it is that He has spoken into our hearts over these last 10 months or so, if you were to really think about it, all the sermons that you've heard, the Bible school classes that you've gone through, the small group topics that you have discussed, I mean, there's such a lot that the Lord spoke into our lives, isn't there? I mean, it's a lot. It's actually sometimes you think, maybe I'm going to just skip a few Sundays and just do what the Lord told me 5 Sundays ago. Eh? Don't you sometimes feel like that? Please don't skip Sunday. Do still come. But if you were to skip Sunday instead of lying on the beach, maybe just apply what you were taught a few months ago. But the reality is this. We don't have a lack of knowledge. That's not the problem. The problem is that there's very often a breakdown between what we hear and what manifests through our hands and through our mouths. And I've been thinking about this quite a lot. And what I realized is as that definition there, not definition, sort of a description of one of the causes of heart disease, which is called coronary artery disease. Okay, that's the most articulate I will sound when it comes to medicine. Coronary artery heart disease, basically a heart attack, and it's interesting this word heart attack. Okay, it speaks about an attack that comes suddenly. Right? Very often you hear about this very fit guy who went to run the Comrades and then boom. Dies of a heart attack. Something that came out of nowhere. And the reality is that attack, even though on the surface it came out of nowhere, actually didn't come out of nowhere. Most cases, there was a build-up. And so what that description there speaks about is the fact that we've got these different arteries, and the arteries that run into your heart. They call the coronary arteries, okay, the big ones. And what can happen over time is that an artery like that can narrow, become narrower from the buildup of various substances, okay, including cholesterol. Now, that sometimes that's genetic, and sometimes that is because of lifestyle habits. So sometimes it's stuff that you inherit, and then there's sometimes stuff that you bring upon yourself. Make sense? Okay, physically and spiritually as well. And this condition, known as coronary artery disease, causes most heart attacks. Now, I've got a little graphic for you there. On the left-hand side, you find a healthy artery. Okay, it's the blood vessel wall is nice and open. The blood flows easily through the artery from the oxygen-rich blood comes from the lungs, flows into the heart. The heart pumps them up to the different parts of the body. Right there in the middle, there's the process that begins to happen where the cholesterol starts building up. Okay, so it's like plaque that forms on the inside of the artery. And then the walls of this artery becomes narrower. So it starts restricting the flow of blood. But not only does the wall become narrower, the outside also becomes hardened. Which is interesting, again, if you think about the spiritual parallel. Okay, the inside becomes narrower, so it starts blocking the flow of the oxygen, but at the same time, the outside becomes harder and harder, so it becomes less flexible. Until eventually, you have it completely narrowed down, the blood can't pump through, and then sometimes one of two things happen. It either ruptures and the cholesterol spills out into the blood, or you have a blood clot that forms there, and you get a heart attack. The heart attack is actually when the part of the muscle of the heart dies because it doesn't get enough blood. Okay, now depending on how many arteries are blocked, it determines the severity of the heart attack. Now, what they do say is that your heart can recover. I think it takes about 9 weeks or so for the muscle to recover again. A scar will remain, but the muscle can recover again if the blood circulation gets restored. Okay, which again, I find very interesting if we were to think about the spiritual significance of that. Now, the causes for heart attack are obviously a lot. You can see there. I don't know. Some of you might want to put yourself there, okay, if you look at those things. But if you look at all of that fear, sickness, stress, lack of sleep, worry, anxiety, late nights, getting upset over the proteas that lost in India in 3 days, payments, you know, all sorts of things like that can add to your heart taking strain, your heart having to work harder than normal. And mostly what happens is that spiritually it's the same. Spiritually, we have a lot of things that come against us from the outside. And normally people think, okay, if I were to just surrender my life to the Lord, then suddenly all of those things just fall away. Suddenly I don't have any of those factors anymore. But that is not what Christianity is. Christianity is not a magic wand that takes all of those stress factors away. Christianity enables us to go through those things and to come out the other side as conquerors. Christianity enables us, and the power of the Holy Spirit enables us not to be defined by those things, not to be utterly and completely broken down by those things. And this is the reality. The stronger your heart, the better your ability to handle those stress factors. Isn't it so? I mean, I think all of us know in a relationship, as Brad has so eloquently put to us, mostly it's the guy who's wrong. And if you have had enough sleep and maybe you've exercised a lot and you're in a good space in terms of your job, then it's easier for you to admit that you're wrong. Hey, Brad, because you have perspective. You're fresh, and so you can see where she's coming from and you understand, and you can see, okay, now of course she's right and I'm wrong. But when you're tired and the surf hasn't been that good, you haven't been able to get onto the waves, and people are giving you a tough time at work, and your pastor is nagging you to do certain things, and it's another male coming through from the church, and it just keeps on bugging you and keeps on getting you down. And then you're in the situation where you have this, like my wife and I, we have this discussion, and then all of a sudden, my capacity to handle that discussion is diminished, and I say silly things. I get worked up and get upset with the cat or the budgie afterwards. But if I'm in a good space, if my heart is in a good space, I'm able to handle those things. Would you agree? And so the strategy of the devil, I have found, is to keep us, very often, keep us focused on trying to sort out those external things. And we run around trying to sort out the savings. We run around trying to limit the fears. We run around trying to sort out the stress factors and do a better job at work and work harder and equip myself more, get a different job because maybe the different job will make me happier, or the different town will make me happier, or the different church will make me happier, or maybe we push it to the extreme, the different family will make me happier, you know, because we focus on the externals. And meanwhile, all along, the devil is coming for the heart. And so he's got a two-pronged strategy, and that strategy is keep on hammering away at the heart, but keep them unaware of where I am attacking. Keep them distracted so that they work and they fight on the superficial external things. And if we think about, I mean, if you were to distill all the messages that we have brought this year, everything you've listened to, then probably you can summarize it in that chapter that you aren't read. But what is our goal? I mean, all the sermons really just boil down to this one thing, and that is to work about inside of our lives a transformative power that will change us into becoming more like Jesus, into becoming more like that Jesus that is love. Isn't that so? And so Jesus distilled everything and summarized all the sermons that you could ever listen to, all the practical tips you could ever hear, all the small group discussions, all the Bible school studies, distilled it to these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that the gist of it? So if I were to ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? If someone were to stop you and you go out of this hall and you're so excited, you've been in the presence of the Lord, you shine, man, there's this radiance all over you, and you know, you've got a massive smile on your face, and someone would ask you, why? Where did you come from? No, I was in church. It's such a lovely day. Why not at the beach? No, because I was together with my brothers and sisters, and we were worshiping Jesus. But why? What do you guys try to do? Then there are many answers we could give them. But the most important one is that the essence of our life is to love the Lord our God, isn't it? With all of our heart. And to then love our neighbors, the people around us, as we love ourselves. So it is loving God, it is loving those around us, and it is loving ourselves as well, in the same process. And I have found that what mostly happens is that there's a breakdown in one of those three areas, sometimes in all three of them. And what I've just felt the Lord is wanting to give us an opportunity as a congregation, as we sort of calming down a little bit on the agenda and on the schedule for this month, and we're getting towards the end of the year. And so you will see we've canceled some of our encounter series and some of the other activities, because I'm wanting you to take some time out to think about your heart, to think about the condition of your heart, to just look what's going on there. Because the best strategy the evil one can bring our way is just to keep us so busy, so busy, so busy that we never stop. I mean, you have an amazing sermon. You get out of here. You spend some time with your family and friends. You invite some people over for a braai. And then there's just stuff that happens. It needs to happen. And unless we take some time out and we stop and we evaluate, I think we run the risk of actually hitting a place where you get a spiritual heart attack. Now, there's different intensities, but sometimes I see people just becoming a little bit distant, not as excited about small group anymore. Why not? Because their heart suffered an attack there. Something died in their trust towards the people around them. Someone is just not giving as they used to give anymore. Why? Because something happened there. Something in their heart died. Maybe they became a little bit more cynical, or maybe pressure or stress about finances, as Brett shared with us as well. Just doesn't make sense. When I got saved, it all made sense because Jesus was just so awesome, but now things have become a little bit more complicated. So I'm going to hold before you guys a few causes for spiritual heart attack, which I believe the Holy Spirit just wanted to draw our attention to. Proverbs 13 verse 12 speaks about this, probably one of the most powerful ones. And at first, I prepared this only for the leaders, and I really felt the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring all of us onto the same page. So those of you guys who were the leadership weekend, forgive me, you're going to get a double dose. Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So think about what happens to your heart when your heart grows sick. Think about what we're talking about. We're talking about the flow of life to your heart that gets limited and restricted. And the flow out of your heart that gets restricted. So when we talk about growing spiritually ill, we are simply talking about a limitation placed upon our ability to respond to God. Okay? How do you know that you're spiritually healthy? It is when the Holy Spirit moves and He speaks to you and you respond. It's not about how often you hear His voice. It's not about how often you come to church. It's not about how often you read the Bible. It's not even about how often you pray. It is about how responsive are you to God when He speaks to you? How is your obedience to the voice of God when He speaks to you? Okay, now, very often we don't want to get to the obedience bit because that sounds condemnatory, but I think we can all agree with one another that just listening to the word simply isn't good enough, is it? It is what we do with what we've heard that determines just the cycle. Am I healthy spiritually? Am I healthy? And what happens when we grow spiritually sick is we become hardened to the voice of God. There are certain areas, and what is true is that not all your arteries get blocked up. Some work, and then in one or two, they get blocked. And there are certain areas that the Lord can speak into my life, but then there are others that, just don't go there. Just don't touch that bit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to have all those arteries wide open so we can flow through our lives. And I have found, just speaking to many people, that often one of the most important areas where the devil comes to really hurt our hearts is when we are standing in faith for something for a long time. We have hope held before us. And between seeing that vision and seeing that purpose that God holds before us and it manifesting, it just takes an incredibly long time. People disappoint us in that. We feel disappointed and let down by God. And so the next time we have to step out in faith, we just say, no, I'm going to protect my heart. Because I can't deal with this brokenness inside of me. I can't deal with this hurt inside of me. I don't know if I can trust again. I don't know if I can step out again. It's awesome to talk about faith and all of those things, but you know, I prayed for someone and they got worse. I remember as a young boy, we had just moved from Uppington or from Beaufort West to Uppington, and I had this beautiful cat. It was my grandmother's cat, and when she passed away, I got the cat from her, and we moved to Uppington in 1989. Was incredibly hot. That was the year the sheep died in the shade. It was just like terribly hot year. And we got there the one day, and the next day, my cat jumped over the fence as I was heading towards school. She was coming after me, and a car drove over her. And I was absolutely devastated. And I remember just picking her up, and the blood is spilling out of her mouth. I'm holding her, and I'm praying for her, saying, Jesus, you've got to resurrect my cat. You've got to cause her to come back to life again. Yeah, I was standard eight. No, she didn't come back to life. And that hurt me. That hurt my heart. And someone said, oh, silly you, man, praying for your cat. But for me, it was something massively important. It was something incredibly precious to me. And I had to work through it. What do you do when you were little? Well, I wasn't that little. You were a young man. But you've got this cat that represents so much of your memories and a place that you actually, I didn't want to be in Uppington. I actually wanted to stay behind in Beaufort West. And this cat represented so much of what I felt comfortable with. And there she's flat. What do you, now I've got to go to school. And it's just terrible. And I had to work through that. Whether it's the cat, the grandparent, the dad, the business. All of us have moments in our lives when God didn't answer our prayer the way that we wanted to. And if you don't deal with that, if you don't take the time out to say, God, I'm cross. God, I don't understand. The only option you have is to harden your heart there. And next time when it's an altar call, or next time when someone says they've got a headache, or next time someone asks you to pray, you say, I'll think of you, I'll pray for you, but you never do it. You say it, but you don't do it. Why? Because there's a part of your heart muscle that has died. And you need God's power to come and to resurrect that. But you need to be open for open heart surgery to say to Him, God, this part of my heart hurts. I don't understand why that relationship didn't work out, God. I don't understand why the business venture didn't come off the ground, God. Come and restore my hope. And if that is you, and if your hope has been deferred, if your hope, it means frustrated, it means it just hasn't come through yet. And I believe that vision that we got about the waves coming, God is wanting to restore your hope. He's wanting to come and make it new. Proverbs 18 verse 12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, is proud, is arrogant. Before destruction, you know, if you think about a heart attack, that's probably a good description. There's destruction that takes place, isn't it? Something dies. And spiritually, one of the most important ways in which you can build up cholesterol or plaque in your heart is to walk around with pride. And what is pride? Pride is simply saying, I'll do it the Frank Sinatra way, my way, instead of God's way. That's all that pride is. I'll do it my way. I won't forgive. I won't walk the extra mile. I'll defend myself. I won't be vulnerable again. I will protect myself. And then what happens is, inevitably, we cannot protect ourselves all the time. And we prevent that eagle of God's love coming, putting his wings around us and protecting us. Here's the reality. Either God protects me or I protect myself. And I've just discovered areas in my heart lately where I've realized, yeah, Heinrich has been keeping things together. And Heinrich needs to let go. Heinrich needs to say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this, God. I can't forgive. I need you to come and do this. I need your power to flow through me in this area. So the first one there is just hope. God wants to come and restore hope in some of our hearts. Fathers of us, God is wanting us to surrender our need to be in control. I need to have everything planned out. I need to be the strong one. I need to always have our emotions together. I need to never break before others. I need to know the answers all the time. We need to let go of that. That's called many things, but it's actually just pride. And God wants to deliver us from that. The third one there is just a broken spirit. Verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. In other words, if your spirit, it's another word for your heart, if your spirit is strong, if your heart is strong, then you can carry anything that comes your way. I've been amazed just being around some people who have experienced incredible loss. I remember meeting a pastor's couple up in Gauteng, and you're probably the worst nightmare of any parent, right up there with the worst, is that they built a swimming pool and there was some delay in the just fixing the gate to the pool. You know, and he was working in one part of the house, the wife was working in the other part of the house, and both of them thought the little girl was with him. And of course, you know what happened. She wasn't. She was at the bottom of the pool. And I spent some time with them, and I must tell you, there are people, and you walk into their presence and you feel like you're in the presence of God. I don't know whether you've been around people like that. There's such a holiness about them. A brokenness, but a holiness at the same time, where there's a yieldedness of that pain, a supernatural yieldedness, because you can't do that in your own strength. I've been around other people as well, families and couples who've been torn apart by the blame and by the guilt. Where one spouse just couldn't forgive the other for something traumatic that happened, or couldn't forgive themselves for something that happened, and they torn apart. And spending time with the couple, they admitted to me there's no way they could just move on their own. They had to break before God. They had to let go. They had to wrestle with God through the anger and all of those things. And yet he came and he brought them perspective. Not understanding, but he brought them himself. He was their comfort. And I looked at that and I was like, I felt so humbled. Like, wow, I haven't been through anything like that, but there's certain areas in my life where I'm not allowing God to get close. And if God could get into a couple's pain like that and do something so beautiful, I know we can do it for all of us. But some of us bear broken spirits. Our spirits have been broken through abuse, have been broken through anger and just things that have crushed us. And God is wanting to fortify us this morning. He says he's the healer of the broken hearts, the healer of the broken spirits. So if your spirit feels broken, in other words, you can't step up, you can't act with boldness, you can't even begin to think how God can use you. You don't even want to venture out, stepping out of the boat like Peter did. You've got a broken spirit. God wants to come and he wants to pick you up and he wants to restore you. Then the last one there, Proverbs 18 verse 1. Another cause of heart attack, if the first one there is just hope that is deferred, and then pride in our hearts and just being broken by our circumstances, by tragedy that happens. That happens to all of us. Eh? Life happens and it can break us. Jesus said something so profound. He said that if we fall on the rock, we'll be broken. If the rock falls on us, we'll be crushed. In other words, there's a choice we have to make that we will jump onto him. Be broken. But if you're broken within his grace, then he can release something beautiful through you. Something that's not Heinrich. Something that's not a nice sermon. Something that's not a nice tweet or a nice Facebook post. Something that's authentic, Holy Spirit. Because I think you know and I know this world doesn't need more cute little tweets and posts and slogans and marketing, as important as it is. The world needs people who know their God. Not people who are perfect, not people who have all the answers, but people who have the presence of God. People who have their hearts open for him to flow so that he can be the healing. We can't. You know, that's one of the things the Lord spoke to me about, is that we as a church, we can't be the healing for people. We can't make ourselves grow. We can't fix people's marriages. We can't fix their parenting issues. We can't fix their financial problems. We can't fix the depression. We can't do that. We're not God. But he wants to do it through a people that's yielded to him. A people who are authentically broken before him and says, flow through us, Holy Spirit. Flow through us, Jesus. And I just felt for some of us, the Lord is wanting to say this. You are not Jesus. You are trying to be God to some of the people around you, to your family members, to your spouse, or to your kids. You are not Jesus. Stop trying to be God's heart. Allow yourself to just be in his hands. Yielded and surrendered to him. And you'll be astounded to see what he can do. One of the ways in which the devil really gets to us is when we get to this place. We isolate it. So he who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise counsel. When we isolate ourselves, it means we carry stuff on our own all the time. We don't have people who can come alongside us and say to us, I can see you weak. I can see you taking strain. I want to come alongside you. I want to help you. That's what we try and do when we have a new baby that arrives. We come alongside the parents and we say, we've got to eating roster for you. Just for this week or two, you don't have to worry about making the food as well. We want to carry this with you. And it's something so small and yet something so profound. I think something we need to grow into as a church is to think about how can we support our single parents who are carrying a tremendous burden? How can we support people who are carrying stuff that because they just have to and they're strong and they're amazing? But we can carry that with them. But then we have to make a choice not to isolate ourselves. We have to say, I'm going to open up. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to trust again. I'm going to say, I need help. Like Peter was sinking, and he was screaming out, Jesus, help me. As we were worshiping, I felt some of us, you just need to let that cry out. Jesus, help me. I'm drowning. I'm sinking. Help me. I can't fix this. Help me. There's some causes. I'm just going to put them up for you there. I want you to just have a look at that, and you know where the trigger is for your heart. You know, right now, this present moment, what's the thing that's weighing down on your heart? You might have stuff on there that's not, stuff in your heart that's not on there. But all of us go through discouragement. All of us go through a sense of failure, loneliness. I'm astounded how often within a crowd like this, we can sit with such intense loneliness. We walk in this room and we leave this room and nobody's gotten to know us because we have these walls around us. And sometimes there are legitimate reasons because we've been disappointed and we've been hurt. This is what the Lord has taught me. Only I, myself, can open up my heart to people around me. Nobody else can do it. Once I start opening up my heart, I'm amazed by how differently people respond to me because suddenly my heart is open. My heart is vulnerable. I think we've experienced this in our marriage. When you build up that wall around your heart, suddenly you just, the miscommunication. Just this. It's as if you live with this person, but you've got this long distance relationship. Just this massive distance between you. But when I walk the path of humility, hey Brad, I think our wives have to do it more often because they mostly right, and so they have to choose to be humble more often than us. But when you choose to just humble yourself, something opens up, isn't it? But when you choose to say, nope, no, I owe you at least a day's worth of rejection, of the silent treatment, at least a day. That pain registers at least a day or a week of ignoring you in subtle ways. Why? Because you are blocking your heart. But when you come, you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Something happens. Just the way the Lord has wired us. Some of you guys, you're struggling with moral failure. You've made some mistakes morally, and you're blaming yourself. Some of you are under financial pressure. Some of us are struggling with anger or burnout, or our physical health is taking strain. Our marriage, some of us are just too busy. I believe the healer is in the house. And it's not going to be a complicated process. It simply starts with us acknowledging, saying, Jesus, I'm under pressure. Please help me. It's as simple as that. The alternative is we keep our hearts shut and we are okay for a day, we're okay for a week, we're okay for a year, till suddenly that heart attack comes. Casting Crowns has got a song called Slow Fade, which I'm going to play for us. It's a hectic song, and it speaks about the fact that none of us, be it families or businesses or daddies or moms, crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It doesn't happen overnight. So when the Holy Spirit comes to give us an opportunity, when His voice speaks to us, then we have the opportunity to stop the slow fade, to invite the power of His cross into that whole process and say, God, I'm standing, I'm kneeling next to the cross that ushers in resurrection life. Some of the images are quite hectic. It might remind you of a few things. I want you to just have your heart open for the Holy Spirit to bring you to the place where you say, Jesus, I surrender. When you register that pain, don't deny it. Say, Jesus, I surrender this pain to you. He's here. He's here. Let us close our eyes. Jesus, I thank you that you are here, present to heal, present to restore. You are still the healer of broken hearts. And you can do for us what we can never, ever do for ourselves. And so, God, I surrender this, your people, into your hands. And I thank you that you have free reign here this morning. I thank you for the power of conviction in our hearts. I thank you for the release of grace over us to enable us to surrender into your hands what we've been holding on to for so long. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of revelation here to show our hearts where it is that we are running the risk of dying to your voice, dying to the flow of your Spirit through us. Come and unblock our arteries, God. We want to drink deeply from you so that you can flow freely through us. Thanks, guys.